Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Revelation chapter number 20. When you find your place, if you would, stand in honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter number 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of it. Out of those things which were written in the books according to those works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, I want to thank you for another day in your house, Lord. I want to thank you for the great service we had this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask that you please help us as we preach today, Lord. Lord, I know I am myself and I am nothing up here, Lord. Lord, I need you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you please help us to understand. And Lord, as you help me, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I remember this time. Yes. I want to focus on verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My first point is, hell is real. Hell's not a metaphor for something. It's not some story you tell to frighten kids who don't listen. Hell is real. Every inch, every flame, all of the pain, every second of suffering and the separation from God, it's all very real. Jesus talks about that. Talks about hell more than anyone else that I can find in the Bible. He says it's a place of everlasting fire meant for the devil and his angels. The preacher preached this morning on Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was fully aware of all the pain and suffering he was in. He felt every second of it. He asked for a drop of water from Lazarus' finger. Can you imagine being so thirsty and so hot that a single drop of water is all that you want to bring you relief? The flames sear your body, but you never burn up. Your mind replays every ignored warning, every opportunity to repent, every choice to turn towards God. That regret becomes a part of an endless agony. Imagine the type of torment for eternity, never ending but fully aware. The preacher preached on the things that you would remember in hell this morning. Every time you ignored God, wishing you'd listen, played over and over again. I'm not trying to add anything to that, but I want you to see the urgency in eternity in hell. People live life as eternity. It's not real. As our choices, they don't have eternal consequences. But the Bible makes it clear that hell is real. Second is eternal separation. To me, the most terrifying part of hell, it's not the flames or the suffering. It's the eternal separation from God. Some may say, well, aren't we already separated from God? God's in heaven. We're down here on earth. We've got no idea the kind of torment to be that there will be of true separation from God. We experience His mercy and His grace every day. And we take that for granted. God is the reason the sun rises. He's the reason we have air to breathe. The love we feel, the hope we have, all these things are reminders of God's presence. Even those who reject Him still live in a world where His grace is present. But hell's different. Hell is complete and total separation from God. There's no hope. Everything good is gone. What remains is darkness, regret, and torment. We can't imagine that kind of separation because every moment in our lives, even when we're going through hard times and in the pain, we still are surrounded by God's goodness. We still have God's grace. But in hell, goodness, there is no, that goodness is completely dark. That's the true horror of hell. In hell, there will be no family reunions, no comforting words heard after a long day, no one to sit down beside you and say, it's going to be okay when you're hurting. Everything good will be gone. No kind words from your mother, no advice from your father, nothing but eternal darkness. There will be no rest. Even after a long day, a long, hard day, we can lie down at the end of the day, we can close our eyes and get some relief. But in hell, there is no relief. There's no pause. There's no moment where that suffering stops. Think about how much we rely on the comfort of others, from a parent or a spouse or a friend, a pastor. They can help calm a hurting heart. But in hell is the absence of all that. There's no love expressed, no kindness shown, no compassion, no God. The Bible tells us that everything that's good and perfect in this world comes from God. Love, comfort, peace, rest. But when you're separated from God, all those things are gone. Imagine every good thing in your life being ripped away. No sunshine, no laughter, no blue skies, no cool spring mornings, no fresh air. Picture yourself alone in total darkness. Nothing familiar, no comfort, no rest. The flames burning. The darkness fills every corner. The smell of smoke, screaming in agony as you cry out to God and He's nowhere. That's the true horror of separation. People say, well, preacher, I don't like to think about that things. But that's what I'm trying to tell you. Those are the things we need to... Those are the reasons why we need to tell people about hell. That pain, as someone cries out, Lord, please help me, and he's too late. But I'm here to tell you, there is an escape today. Imagine yourself in a burning building. Smoke fills the hallways. Your eyes are stinging. Every breath you take burns. You need a way out. Your heart, you start to panic. Panic sets in. You need a way out. You need it now. Then someone hears, a door's open. Follow me. There's a clear escape, a path that leads to safety, fresh air. But it requires a choice. You must act. You have to turn towards that exit. You have to leave the building. The hesitation can cost you your life. Not a single person in this room would choose to stay in that burning building. Every one of us would choose the path to safety. I'm sitting here to tell you there's an escape route. I'm standing here to tell you today that there's an escape route from that lake of fire. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to face eternity separated from God. Jesus is that door. He is your way of escape. He bore your sin and your pain, your guilt. He bore your judgment on the cross. So you don't have to. But you have to choose to turn towards Him. You have to accept Him. The door is open. The path is clear. All you have to do is step through it. For the saved, the reality of hell should move us to act. If we truly understood the flames, the torment from the eternal separation from God, our hearts should break from the lost. Every single one of us should be praying daily for our lost loved ones, our lost friends. But we should also be calling out, I know a way of escape. I know a man who can. If you were standing outside that burning building, and you had a loved one, a father, a mother, a son, daughter, friend, spouse, inside that building, you would shout until they heard you. You'd scream at the top of your lungs so your voice give out. That's the urgency of eternity. Every conversation, every invitation to church, every testimony could save someone's life. Hell is real. Separation is real. But so is the escape. And because of that, we cannot stay silent. Closing, there's a story. I've heard the preacher say it a lot. There was a man found guilty in court. He was tried in court. All evidence pointed towards him. There's no chance of him getting out of it. The judge looks to him and says, you're guilty. The penalty must be paid. But right before they take him away, a man stands up and says that he'll pay that price. The judge looks at the guilty man and asks him, will you accept this payment? Today, if you're here lost, you're faced that same question. You will be judged by God one day. But Jesus has already paid that price. All you have to do is accept it.